Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Gleanings from Colossians, Part 4, The Good Life. This message is extremely important, not because I'm preaching it, but because it is in the Word of God, and it is so pertinent. People live in a refuge of lies. Isaiah 28:17, judgment also will I lay to the line, the righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. In the day of accountability, all the things that were false that people have trusted in are gone. We have faulty thinking. We all have some faulty thinking, and that is the whole essence of the Bible, of teachers, of learning. Key verses so far, and now as we talk about Christians particularly, Christians have faulty thinking. Well, I can live just as I want, and God loves me just the way I am. Well, that's true. God loves you just the way you are, but you cannot live the way you want. And you have to start to realize that things that you have done before you got saved, you thought were okay. They're not okay. You need to learn and change. Consider what Paul wrote in Colossians 1:9. For this cause, we, Timothy and Paul also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Every believer ought to know the will of God for their life. What's going on? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. You have to learn the will of God. You have to learn, and therefore you walk accordingly. Learn and do. One of the biggest problems we have is deceivers. Colossians 2:6. As you have received Christ the Lord, how did you receive Him as your Savior? Faith. So walk in Him. Faith. Rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And here it is, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you. Christians, beware lest you be spoiled. He wants you to learn and to do, and there will be false teachers and ideas coming along, and they're faulty, and you're in this refuge of lies because you have believed something that's not biblical. Don't let it happen. The good life is what we're going to consider today. In verses 1 through 11 of chapter 3, the teaching is pretty straightforward. The points are clear. Thus, the relationship that we can have with God is surely understandable. You do understand that God's will for your life is not some deep, magical, mystical thing. Boy, I wish I knew what God wanted. He says, take up your cross. He doesn't say, go look for it. God's will for your life is right where you are right now, the life you have. Start there and let Him lead you. Every morning, get up and take up your cross. And that is the will of God, because God made no mistakes where He planted you in time and space. In this passage, there are some things that are set forth by Paul for the good life. In verses 1 through 4 of this study is proper thinking, and 5 through 11 is proper behavior based on that proper thinking. Again, chapter 1, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. How? Pray. Don't scream and shake people by the lapels to do right. And this is more and more where our world is. Unrest everywhere, screaming. And the Bible is saying what? How is Paul and Timothy supposed to help these people? Prayer. What a neat idea. Pray. We pray for you that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will. Pray for these people. They need our prayers far more than they need our criticisms. Why? That they could walk worthy. It's not going to be shaking them by the lapels. It's when you get the Holy Spirit working in their life and you can be a tool of God to help people. Well, the good life. Did you know God wants you to have the good life. The problem is we don't understand what the good life is. We cannot live as we want to live and expect God to be pleased. We need to learn. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ. Did you trust Christ as your Savior? He died for you, and He rose again, and we are now in that resurrected Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Do you understand that you are risen with Christ? Yeah, I know. I'm going to walk out of here, get in my car, drive home, and I got back to the rat race. No. Look at it differently. You are in Christ. We must see our position in Christ. Spiritual truths triumph over philosophies, traditions, and the problems of life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, that people would get righteous, spiritual living. You see, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things. Don't seek the things you used to. Oh, that Christians would look beyond this world. Look those things that are above. Now remember, look beyond this world. Solomon, months, years ago, we did a study on Ecclesiastes. He had everything. Ecclesiastes 2:10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I had everything. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced with all my labor. I had anything, everything in excess. And this was my portion of all my labor. Verse 11, then I looked on all my works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, underline it, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. If God gave you every desire of your heart, you would still not be happy. Because happiness is not in the things of this world. It is in righteousness and a relationship with God, knowing, living His will. And one day you and I are going to leave this world. Solomon had everything, and he said it was a vanity and vexation of spirit. It was not worth it. We need renewed thinking, which will result in renewed behavior. The answer for fulfillment for every man is in spiritual thinking. Do you understand? Everybody. Did you know this was written 2,000 years ago and it pertains to us today? It pertains to everybody, everybody around the world, rich, poor, and you go down the list. Live the Christian life. It is the good life. And the devil is filling people with false lies. We covered this last week, and deceptions. Don't be deceived. Oh, that Christian life is boring. You don't want that. You can go enjoy. I mean, you live in a free country. Go do whatever you want. Yeah, you can do whatever you want, but don't expect God to be pleased. Let me quote, if ye then be risen with Christ, the apostle having observed in the former chapter that the believing Colossians were dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, were buried with him in baptism, and were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Now, based upon that, he argues hence, how much it became them to regard a new and spiritual life. If you're dead in Christ, dead in trespasses and sins, you're born again. What a neat idea. Live in the new life. Why would you live in the old garbage of the dead past? Those deeds and iniquities. Continue to quote, you regard a new and spiritual life and to seek after superior and heavenly things and treat with neglect the contempt carnal and earthly ones. Why do you want to do what the unsaved did? Why do you want to go back to your old life? Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Paul wrote to the Romans, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, born-again people, should walk in newness of life. Get this, we're not making over our old life. That's not how you become a Christian as you clean up your life. That is not how you grow. Well, I'm going to just quit my cussing and carousing. And those are all somewhat admirable. Base it all on spirituality. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Boy, is that going to be a day. Folks, there is coming a day, and this is a problem. We too often live for here and now. Don't live for here and now. Move beyond that. Set your affection on things above. Verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are set upon the earth. Mortify them, kill them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now remember, in chapter 2, we were talking about how circumcision plays a part in all this. Old Testament had a literal circumcision, but also it's referenced multiple times in the Old Testament, not just a physical circumcision, but a circumcision of the heart, the innermost thinking. Cut away the old fleshly thoughts. Don't do that, because that interferes with your relationship with God. And so it is graphically illustrated, and so it is, this is the relationship that God wants us to have with him, that the flesh not be in the way. Verse 10, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Cut it off. It's dead. Subdue them. Let's consider these quickly. Fornication. Get that out of your life. Harlotry, adultery, incest, figuratively, idolatry. Uncleanness. Impurity, physical or moral. Inordinate affection. Passion, especially for things we shouldn't want. And evil concupiscence takes that to that. Concupiscence is lusting for things that you ought not to lust for. Well, I don't do it, but I think about it. No, it doesn't work that way. Cut it out. Ask God to help you to get that out of your mind. Evil concupiscence, a longing especially for that which is forbidden. Covetousness. By implication, fraudulency, extortion, covetousness, practices. Greediness. These are to be mortified because they are the deeds done by the unsaved. This is where people sometimes get this, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, if you're saved, you don't do these things. We have to be careful and take it all in context. Christians are quite capable of living like the unsaved, and they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't. This is exactly what Paul's saying. Why would you want to do that? Christians will do that, unfortunately. We need to walk in newness of life. We are saved unto a new life. This is why people don't even understand the Christian life, and already they reject it. Don't go to that church. You haven't even tried it. And there are Christians that are hesitant to step out because if they get sold out, well, there goes my life. That's a lie of the devil. That's one of those traditions and philosophies of man that we're to avoid. Many of you in this room, I'm sure, can look back on your life and say, yeah, been there, done that. Wasn't worth it. Verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Those deeds, we were dead in them and trespassers indeed. The wrath of God comes upon those children of disobedience that are doing those words. And he says, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. There was a time before you were saved, you did all that garbage. And at the time, it seemed so natural. It was so natural. You didn't, what? And then you sit in church and you find out, really? I'm not supposed to be telling those kind of jokes? But now, verse 8, but now, also put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Quote, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan called these the sins of good standing. We are so accustomed to anger, critical attitudes, lying, and coarse humor among believers that we're no longer upset or convicted about these sins. We would be shocked to see a church member commit some sensual sin, but we will watch him lose his temper in a business meeting and call it righteous indignation. Put aside, now he's calling these social sins. Anger. In the Greek, violent passion. Wrath. Leaning on vengeance. Now, I want you to understand this. We're not going to dwell on this, but look at Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. There is a time to be angry. Christ was angry and he flipped over the tables and drove the money changers out of the temple. He was very angry, but he didn't sin. He saw a wrong and he corrected it. The anger that we have here is selfish desire. Just fly off the handle for whatever reason. Wrath, put that off. It's a passion as if breathing hard. In your anger, malice, badness, depravity, malignity. Did you know he's saying, Christians, put this off. Do you know why he's saying it? Because Christians do it. Oh, I didn't know you weren't allowed to just get angry at people. Blasphemy. Vilification, especially against God, evil speaking and railing. How about filthy communication? Self-explanatory. Don't talk that way. Don't talk like you used to talk. Don't use those words. Verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. But if you don't apply yourself to the Scriptures, if you don't apply yourself to coming to church, to learning, to be encouraged by other people, don't expect to be understanding in knowledge. And have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What's the goal? To be created in the image of Christ. This is the goal. How do you put off these things? Well, in one sense, stop it. And sometimes it isn't that easy. And sometimes there are stubborn sins that just want to hang on. And you have to ask God and let him work and help you to get over it. But let me tell you this, when you put off these things, don't create a vacuum. You trust Christ as your Savior and you start to live for him. Well, I'm not going to do this and this and this and this and this. And in one sense, that's admirable, but what are you going to do in his place? You need to replace it with, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. So you don't have time to think about this and this and this and this. If you just simply try to block it out, it's very hard. If you get yourself busy about what you ought to be doing, you're going to find the victory. It will be much easier. Put these things off. Replace the old faulty thinking of behavior and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Look at Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on earth. Those of you who were with me in that study on Ecclesiastes and others that have read it, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. That was Solomon's whole problem. All of his thinking was under the sun. He needed to have above the sun thinking. That's why it says, Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Solomon had all the things of the earth. Everything. 1,000 women. He had everything in excess. It says he had so much silver, they were like stones. You didn't even bother to pick them up. He had it all, and he wasn't happy. He said it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. Folks, if God could give you everything you wanted, you would not be happy. And this is why we have to get renewed in the thinking as we continue Did you know that God has given the same access to every man to find righteousness, holiness, and the answers to life? Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And then you start living in that newness of life. Don't try to live the newness of life without trusting Christ as your Savior. You can't do it. And it will be frustrating and it will be meaningless. Consider 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God, born again, doth not commit sin. Really, Christians are perfect. Then why is Paul bothering to write this letter? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. This is true. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bible. But the truth is, you have an old nature that came into your life the day you were born. And when you're born again, you now have this new nature. An unsaved person only has one nature. A saved person has two natures, the old and the new, and they fight. And that's why you can rightfully say, I never had that problem until I went to that church. And until I started to grow in the Lord, because you started to find the battle. And the devil does not like what you're doing, and he will fight you. And that's why Paul said, I have a conflict for you. Because he's trying to help these people to grow in the Lord, and the devil's not letting them alone. The Christian life absolutely has its oppositions and torment. And there are times you just stop and you say, Lord, would you please bind the devil? It's very real. There's a conflict, and it won't go away until you die, and that old nature will no longer be with you. The person who's unsaved only has that old nature. They don't have the ability to do right before God. They have to be born again and have that new spirit in their life, born again, newness of life. Then they start to grow. I want you to get this. This is so profound. Verse 10 of Colossians 3, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 11, are you ready for this? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. In other words, one size fits all. He says, I don't care if you are Jew or Greek, I don't care if you are circumcised or not circumcised, I don't care if you are a barbarian, which in the original means a foreigner, or a Scythian, which actually means like a wild person in a variety of ways, or I don't care if you're bond or free. And by the way, in the last chapter of the book of Colossians, the last verse, Paul makes a little reference. Remember my bonds. He's writing this from a prison cell. Don't say, well, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. Yes, he does. In Christ, there is no more. Everybody's on equal footing. And he will help every man find the good life if you will seek it. Christ is all in all. He's all and he's in all. This world is all about Christ. Colossians chapter 1, we're not going verse by verse for obvious time's sake. I want you to get the flow of this. It says, by him, Jesus Christ, all things consist. All things, the little atoms, exist because of Christ. Why? There's only one perpetual motion machine that I can think of, and that's the electron going around the nucleus. There is no such thing as a perpetual motion machine. And yet Christ is all in all. He's holding those little atoms together. Otherwise, this world would fall apart. And why doesn't the negative electron fall in by magnetism into the nucleus, which has a proton? They don't. I do know why. God. He holds it together. He's everything. Do we really think we can live life without him? Apart from him? He holds your very atoms together. Bond, doulos, means slave. free, self-explanatory, no obligations. Jesus is all in all, and he says, all of you, I know you all. I give to you, this is not some secret that's only given to the elite. Every man has access to finding God and, in his terms, the good life. Spirituality applies to every man, no matter who, when, where, what, how, etc. Set your affection on the things above. The problem is we are so focused on the ugly here and now that we can't see the glorious future that's awaiting us. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him. We are now in the image of Christ in the newness. Yet we got a lot of work to do. As it's been said, I'm a work in progress. But that's the goal, is to make us like Christ. God is very serious about the way a believer thinks and lives. Do not live in a refuge of lies. Well, I'm born again. Yes, you are born, may be born again. And yes, you may be on your way to heaven. And your eternal security is settled because you trusted Christ as your Savior. But now God really does care how you live. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. God owns you. God owns you. What a glorious thing that is. And he wants only the best for us. The profound and foundational verses we have considered. Chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. We need to pray for each other. And to desire that ye might be fulfilled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and all spiritual, not earthly, understanding. You must look beyond this world and see the spiritual. Back in the 50s, they had glasses you could put on and see three-dimensional in a movie. I'm much too young to know that, but anyway. If you could put on spiritual glasses, you would see chariots of fire all around. There is a spirit world out there. The fish in the aquarium live in a different environment than the people outside of the aquarium, but they cannot deny, oh, there's no owner of this. You really believe? We just happened. Where do you think the food comes from? Who do you think keeps that air pump going? Who do you think filters out this water? We live in a different realm, if you will. We're physical. There's a spiritual realm, though, that is all around us. He wants us to walk worthy based upon our knowledge. Chapter 2, verse 6, as ye therefore received Christ, so walk in him. How did you receive him? I put my faith in him. He paid my sin debt. There's nothing I can do to earn salvation. It's all by believing in the shed blood, the work of redemption done by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. I believe that. That's what saves me. The moment you believe, born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth and changes his life. Whosoever believes. The split second you get it, and God knows your thoughts, I get it. That's how I'm saying. It's not me. It's not what Jesus. It's what Jesus did. It's not what I did. He promises the moment you believe that, you're saved. You cannot go to hell and you will have everlasting life. What a glorious promise. And now you've got a newness of life that God wants you to walk in. Be careful, Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you. Oh, be careful. Through philosophy and vain deceit, that's under the sun thinking. Don't do that. I know the answers to this world, and if only... Set your affection on things above. God, you know. And I'm praying that you work in this person and work in this person yourself. That we would all grow in spiritual understanding and proper behavior. Set your affection on things above. Verse 8, therefore put off. And verse 10, put on. I remember seeing a thing that it said, referring to the Ten Commandments. What part of thou shalt not don't you understand? These things are pretty clear. What part don't you understand? The good life is not the one found here on earth. It's based upon above the sun,
thinking. This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.